And the guy says, we're running out of gas.
So we went to Orlando. My kids from Orlando happened to be here, in New York. Okay, Shalom Aleichem, everybody. I'm going to finish time for Maariv, the second Maariv. No, the 10 o'clock Maariv, right? I see a lot of new faces and some old faces. Baruch Hashem.
Hi.
I came to check up on you. They say he's branching. I had a bunch of topics to discuss, but I want to just keep my thoughts short, even though there's a lot of emotions coming back to Miami after many, many years and a groundbreaking of a building. One, I know you're learning, you're sitting over here, but it's not that far away, right? You connected a little bit to the groundbreaking at all? You guys going to be there tomorrow?
Yeah.
When you build a building, it has to be built on a solid foundation. Okay, and I'm here to talk a little bit about the foundation, how the yeshiva started, how it grew a little bit, and then probably the biggest part of the growth is that I left. And all of a sudden it started blooming, growing, Baruch Hashem, seeing families and faces and people that are here, some faces that I recognize from the good old days, Baruch Hashem. But it's a brand new era, and it's a brand new vista, and it's a time that we could stop and we could look and reflect and see something that I heard in 1982. I was driving Reb Simcha Wasserman from the yeshiva in Queens to a visit a nephew of his in Sloan Kettering's cancer hospital in New York City. And he asked me two questions. I'll discuss one. He said, Bensian, did you ever wonder why in Lakewood, New Jersey, Reb Schneer has 400 Talmidim? You ever wonder why? I didn't know what to answer him. Reb Simcha Wasserman was the son of Reb Elchanan Wasserman. He was born in Europe. He got out before the Nazis killed everybody. His father went back, as you all know, and he spoke an impeccable English. Incredible English. I'm sitting there, and I didn't really know the answer. I really never thought about it. He said, my father, Reb Elchanan, never saw 400 Talmidim in a yeshiva. It didn't exist. So he said, I'll tell you the reason. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us away. Shaloh Abidarach HaTeva, the destruction, the annihilation in Europe, it was never, ever happened in the history of Klal Yisrael, never happened perhaps in the history of the world. I don't know that, but it's hard to imagine. We are the hated, most hated nation on the earth, and the forces of evil were allowed, we unleashed, Omdi Molein L'Chaloseinu, that moment unleashed in a way that the world had never seen. And if the Eberster took us away, Shlo Al Pi Derech HaTeva, we have to grow back and then he said that in this next Tekufa is a measure of time. I don't know how big it is. I don't know how many years it is. But from 1982 to now is not so many years. Okay? My son was already born in 1982. He's not so old. Okay? 1982 is, I was still in yeshiva. It was a different world then. He says, but you're going to see in this next Tekufa a growth of Torah that's never happened in the history of Klal Yisrael. From the 400 Talmidim in Lakewood, you now have 8,000. And the Mir Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, when I was there in their 70s, 200, 300 Talmidim, also numbers that are staggering. Never happened. And he explained, he says, in the world of nature, the Teva of a tree, when it gets a forest fire, is it spews out seeds faster than fast. And it Hashem creates in the natural world, but it's going to grow even in the supernatural world in a way that's never happened before. Rabosa, you live in this tekufa. You see B'nai Torah today, the numbers of which and the quality and the quantity that really we haven't seen. A city like Miami, started with the yeshiva, this yeshiva started with seven boys, three of them were ninth grade, and four of them were in eighth grade. Rabbi Ephraim Eliyahu Shapiro was in that class. His father, Olav Shalom, Rabbi Mordechai Shapiro, and Rabbi David Lairfield, amongst others, brought me here to help build a yeshiva, but this place wasn't ready for a yeshiva. And we fought, and we built, and we had Siyat Shmaya, and it was all the foundation and the vision of the Rosh Yeshiva Zatzal. He knew and he saw the potential for this community to grow, and he would call me and talk to me and have meaningful conversations with me to help me. I was here all by myself. Then Rabbi Grumblatt, who you'll see tomorrow, Mr. Shem, came. Rabbi Chaim Mandel, who was sitting in the base medrash, came. And it grew and it grew and it grew. When I left here, there was, I don't know, 400, 500, 600 kids in the school. Twice, it doubled, okay? And it keeps growing. They're building a building. It's like you don't see too many projects like that, that size and scope. Why? Because the community needs it. But that was the vision. Rashiva saw it. He was able to pinpoint it. He was able to know what it means to build a Ben Torah, what it means to build somebody who has a commitment to help a community. I don't know how. He just kept on encouraging me. Not just the yeshiva, but the community itself at large. He called me up one day. It was must have been 20 years ago. He was, you know, getting older. And he said to me, "Bitsian, what are you doing?" And he spoke very softly. I said, "Rebbe, you caught me at a good time. I'm preparing shir for tomorrow." He said, "No, but what are you doing?" I figured maybe I wasn't understanding the question. Well, besides giving a shir, I raise a little bit of money. I'm in charge of the tuition committee. I'm involved in different things. He said, "Bitsian, what are you doing?" So I said, if the Rosh Yeshiva, we spoke to him in third person, can help me understand the question, perhaps I could try to answer it. And he said to me, "Bitsian, you have to understand that you're not giving a shir, you're not raising money, you're building a community. You have to understand what you do in the context of that paradigm. And it shifts and it continues to grow your mindset. I have to make decisions. I have to recognize that this yeshiva has had a tremendous effect and will continue to have a tremendous effect on this community, as every Ben Torah, as every Makom Torah has. There's nothing unique about, there's a lot of unique things about this yeshiva, but it was built in that miskeret, in that mindset." Now, you guys will say, "Well, I'm a young guy, and I'm sitting and I'm learning myself, and I'm doing Baruch Hashem, I'm growing." But if you open your vistas and you open your arms, eyes and you open your ears, there's an amazing Gemara. Actually, it's a Rashi. Rashi says that the Luchos were Maisei Elokim Hema. What does that mean, Maisei Elokim? So Rashi brings down two shitas. The second shita, says Rashi, it's a very strange language. The second shita is, as Rashi says, that a person wants, who's in business, he wants to be known for what he does for a living. Okay? A shoemaker wants to let people to know, this is a shoemaker. Hashem says, "I want you to know, Kavi Yochel, what I am, what I love, what's important to me. The Luchos, which is Torah, is my Selukim. This is me. This is how I identify. This is what I am. I am Torah. I promote Torah. I build Torah." And if you look at the Medrash Tanchuma that Rashi is quoting, it adds another amazing element. It says, I forget the name, sorry, very a little tired. Rabbi Shimon Levi, I'm not sure, quotes that there's a basko that's machrezes every day. There's a voice coming from Horeb, which is Har Sinai, crying out, "Oy lanu elbono shel Torah, woe is to us, the disgrace of Torah." And the way the Mephoshim learned the disgrace of Torah is when Hashem, who loves Torah, sees Torah not being learned, when Hashem sees Torah being trampled upon, when Hashem sees Torah not being enthusiastically and passionately imbibed in the next generation, it's a terrible pain to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he asks you, "Do you hear that sound? Do you hear that cry? Do you hear what's important to me? Do you understand what I built and why I built this world and what the purpose is. It's all for Torah. It's built by Torah. It's built by Yistakobar Isabel Bora Alma Akash Brochu created. Everything you see here is through the force of Torah. For the purpose of Torah, so that we should be able to have Torah, disseminate Torah, be able to live and share Torah to other people. That's the foundation of this yeshiva. Rashi's saying that there's those, the lucky ones, that hear that call. And every Ben Torah has to place his ear out and listen to the world. I'm learning. But I have to learn because those people need my Torah to be strong, to be vibrant, to be deep, to be clear, to be passionate. If I am learning Torah and I understand Torah and I can share it with somebody else, I'm hearing that call. There's a different Gemara. The Gemara says, it's a Gemara in Tainus, I think. It's a fascinating Gemara. Every Gemara is fascinating, but this one I took it because Rabbi Kleiderman is going to slug me up later, which is fine, but I'll finish by the time Myra starts. So he wants to run after me, that's fine. Two Amoraim, Rabbi Yochanan was extremely well known. Rabbi Yochanan is everywhere. And another Amora, his name was Ilfa, Aleph Yud Lamed Fe Aleph. That was his name. Not so well known. Marshall learns on that Gemara that Ilfa was actually a greater Talmud Chacham than Rabbi Yochanan. They were sitting in the Beis Medrash one day and they said, we can't sustain ourselves. We can't live like this. And financially, we're in tremendous, tremendous hardship, no, tremendous pressure. And they paskin, based on a pasuk, that they should leave the Beis Medrash. And they left. And they sat, they ate lunch under a wall. You see the warning signs outside, you know, the construction zones. It was a dangerous place. They were under a wall that was leaning. And they didn't notice it, perhaps. And they sat there eating lunch, and two Malchei Asharis, that's what the Gemara says, stood there, and they said, let's push this wall over because they're Chayav Misa. Two things they did. They left the Beis Medrash, they made a wrong cheshbon. And the second thing they did wrong is they're sitting by a dangerous place. There's no protection that protects a person that does something dangerous. It's clear. You could all the Swiss in the world. If you do something dangerous, Hashem doesn't protect you. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need special qualities, but that's a different discussion for today, not for today. They were Chai of Misa, but one Malach says to the other one, but one of these two is destined to be the next Rosh Yeshiva. We can't destroy them. We can't kill them. Yochanan says to Ilfa, says, did you hear those sounds? And Ilfa says, no, I didn't hear it. So Yochanan says, must be the Malachim were talking to me. It can't be. There's a voice, a sound, emanating from a place of Kedusha that just happens. It must be that it's speaking to me. They're talking to me. It must be I'm going to be the next Rosh Yeshiva. And he went back, and Ilfa went off to oblivion. Later on, they came back to the yeshiva, and they said, had you stayed, you would have been the next Rosh Yeshiva. What's the pshat in that story? You went back? You paskin the shiloh. You can't learn anymore. You have to hear the sounds. You have to hear the voice. You have to hear the cries. You have to be able to put your ear and know and understand that Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving you messages. And he's crying. There's machrezes michol yom every day. Oy, lono al baruch shorah. Ben Torah has to hear those sounds. Ben Torah has to be able to know it's not just being emanated. It's for you to hear, for you to be sensitized, for you to be motivated, for you to learn even stronger, and then eventually, go out and do something meaningful with your life to take that sound. Say, Baruch Shalom, you're crying out to me. You're asking me to take a mission, a positive mission, to do something to elevate that banner of Torah, to take the Torah that you gave us so lovingly. This is Zaman Matan Torah Seinu that was given to us with Derech Ava. Like Rashi says in famous Amma Pesiza Shmuz, which is with the Rashi. It's given this Mishlemus with love, complete love. It is his expression of love. It's his expression of love for us. And it's that we have that's so powerful, so beautiful. I travel all across this country. I was in a place called Tucson, Arizona. There are people there. I can't say this tape, and maybe one of them is going to get this tape, and etc. that have a chukka for Torah you can't imagine. But I would not eat in any of their homes. I'll tell you the truth. They don't know anything. They're not yet, you don't know anything. They have no Torah yet. But there's something going on in this country. A chukka for Torah. A cry out. I want to be a Ben Torah. I want to be like you. I want to be able to learn like you. I want to have the chosim that you have. I want to have the joy that you have. If they feel that way and they never had it, how can we not feel that simchas haTorah and learn with that same chukka? I'm going to end with a story that I heard in Taras Chaim when we used to be on 41st Street. Do you remember that? On Arthur Garfield Road, one of the biggest anti-Semites in America, had a yeshiva on his street. Irony, okay? In the yeshiva, there was people, Rosh Yeshivas came in to see what was going on. One of my most amazing experiences was Rabbi Mordechai Gifter, Zecher Tzadik Kosher Baruch Hu, was a yedid of our Rebbe, the Rosh Yeshiva. They were closest friends you can't imagine. They were different day and night. Mordechai Gifter was like a volcanic eruption of power. Torah. And Rosh Yeshiva was soft and sweet. He also radiated Torah, but not with the same volume, the same intensity. And Rabbi Gifter walked in. You felt that aura. It was like room. Okay, it's not California. We have earthquakes, but it was like, you know. And he said to me this following story. He said there was a Talmud. It wasn't the best Talmud in Yeshiva, and he had a problem with a Rajba. He used to roll his rashes. Rajba. You feel the love. Just saying the word Rajba, you felt his Yirah Shema, you felt his Ahava HaTorah when he just said over Dvar Torah. And he had a Shver Rajba. And he couldn't understand it. And finally he chapped it. He chapped it. And he saw it, his eyes of fire. And he told me his pshat in the Rajba. And I grabbed him and I took his hand and I took him into the middle of the Beis Medrash. And I gave a clap. Good job. And I said, let's do a tensel, a dance. And he said, they're looking at me like I'm crazy. And I'm looking at them like they're crazy. How could you hear a Zar Rajba not dance? The simchas of Torah, the beauty of Torah, the dignity of Torah, that it transforms a person from a mundane average being to a ben Torah. You know what that means? To have those values, to have that sensitivity, to have that sensibility, to have that kedusha. That's what a ben Torah is. That's what you are. You have to listen. You have to hear. You have to be attentive. You have to know that Hashem is calling you and saying to you, grow into a ben Torah. Grow in your love for HaTorah and love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then take that Torah which you learned and share it and give it over to the next generation of Torah. And that's what that building is. It's a manifestation of the love people, Klai Yisrael has for Torah, that the Rebbeim have for Torah, that this community has for Torah, that the parents of these kids have for Torah. It's the raising of the banner of Torah. This used to be a conservative shul. That used to be a conservative temple. You can't imagine what this means. They were the two most powerful Jewish organizations in this neighborhood. They're gone! And you're here. Hey, Makaru v'nofel v'nachnu kam nesodah, because we have that which is eternal. That's Torah. We bought up their properties. Maybe soon we're going to take their property over in Beth Torah, the big Beth Torah property. So you know, we outgrow these and we'll move on. Why? Not because we have to grow, but because we have to recognize what we are. We have to recognize what we have. We have to recognize the dignity and the kedusha of Torah. It's not just a building. It's a movement that you're part of. It's a sense of pride, a sense of joy, a sense of simchas haTorah. Ashreinu ma'atol chalkeinu, should give us the call. Should we dance and enjoy and appreciate? And then take that moment of inspiration and say, ah, I feel the dignity of Torah. And when I know and I see people that are not learning, I should hear that call. I should be able to respond to that call. Be'ez Hashem, when you're ready, able, and willing. Welcome, Brocha. Congratulations to the heart.